Okay, we will continue then. We are dealing with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 102, and we're in point B. This is the second part of the program. Gemini is preeminently, we are reviewing here, the sign of the messenger, and this sign produces many of the messengers of God. As they appear down the ages, the revealers of new divine truths. It's true of Master D.K. in a large way. It's true of Alice Bailey in a significant, though smaller way. And the intermediaries between the fourth and fifth kingdoms. The kingdom of souls and the kingdom of humanity. And Mercury is the bridge here. And Venus also is one of the bridges. The two together, the combination of Mercury and Venus, give us a kind of method of entrance into the fifth kingdom of nature. Interestingly enough, two signs which are very associated with entry into the fifth kingdom are Scorpio and Capricorn, usually ruled by the testing planets, Mars for Scorpio and Saturn for Capricorn, and ruling both orthodoxly and esoterically in both cases. But Venus is the hierarchical ruler of Capricorn and Mercury the hierarchical ruler of Scorpio. Put those two together and you have a significant bridge into Buddhimanas, a bridge into the kingdom of souls. So going on here, we see it is for this reason that you have the exoteric ruler given as Mercury and the esoteric ruler as Venus. Now this is Mercury and Venus in a different context. For they embody between them the energies of the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, that's Mercury, and the fifth ray of concrete knowledge or science, which is embryonic understanding of causes and conditions, and therefore also of the plan. So this is interesting because he seems to be saying that Venus will give us, eventually, a good understanding of the divine plan because it reveals causes and conditions resulting therefrom. Causes and resultant conditions. Sometimes Mercury is the inferior planet, as in the case when it rules the concrete mind. Venus can also rule the intellect, but it generally is associated with the higher mental plane. Both Mercury and Venus are associated with the mind of the soul, because Mercury also rules the sun of mind. But Venus is not connected so much with the abstract mind, though it does have a Buddhic connection, because it is a planet itself, in which a Buddhic refocusing is well underway on the cosmic astral plane, where it is not the sixth from below subplane of the cosmic astral plane is being mastered on Venus, we're told, and not so for the Earth. There, the objective would be the fifth cosmic subplane. And then Venus is not as often associated with Buddhi, but it does have that connection, as Mercury is. And Venus is not carried to the atmic level, where Mercury, with its strong ray 3, could be perhaps found. Mercury is the older planet. Venus is the, in a way, faster evolving planet. Mercury is, in a way, the symbol of the moon chain, and connected with the earlier solar system, Venus, the symbol of the Earth chain, and connected particularly with this solar system. But that doesn't mean that we did not have an incarnation of Venus in the previous solar system. But Mercury definitely has that strong ray 3 connection, and is definitely connected with the moon, and even in the symbol, I can't show it to you here, but you know the symbol of Mercury. It has the moon on the top, with the circle beneath and the cross beneath that. So again, you find the note of duality in relationship established by the activity of these two rulers between the third kingdom of nature, the animal kingdom, and the kingdom of God or of souls, the fifth kingdom in nature, thus producing the fourth or human kingdom. Well, I've often thought that Mars will be connected with the animal kingdom. In a way, Mercury with the human kingdom, and Venus with the kingdom of souls. But I think he's looking at it from a little different perspective here. Again, you find the note of duality in relationship established by the activity of these two rulers between the third kingdom of nature, the animal kingdom, and the kingdom of God or souls. Well, Venus is involved in all of that, the implantation of the spark of mind in the third kingdom of animal man at that time, created the fourth kingdom over which Mercury rules. Now, that spark of mind has a lot to do with the planet Venus. So it was, in a way, the intrusion of the Venusian energy into the third kingdom at the time when Gemini was strong, we are told, Gemini and Leo, also Sagittarius, for the animal kingdom, that man was created. And so Venus is the natural ruler of the fifth kingdom and of the fifth creative hierarchy. Mercury has something to do with the fifth kingdom, of course, because its number is so deeply five, whereas the number five is connected with Venus, but less deeply, I think, though it is the number of the soul ray. Anyway, the production of the human kingdom definitely ruled by Mercury. Venus was involved. And there is a duality here between the kingdom of souls and the kingdom, animal kingdom, and the bridging between them became the human kingdom. Interesting how the human kingdom, in a way, at the fourth level, did not pre-exist the kingdom of souls. It was as if created afterwards. The kingdom of souls above, the animal kingdom below, and their approximation, the human kingdom, the warring fourth kingdom, pulled in both directions, towards the animal tendencies and towards the higher soul tendencies. Between these two, the influences play from Sagittarius to Gemini and vice versa. I think it's pretty clear to see, isn't it? Sagittarius is hierarchically ruled by Mars. So, the animal kingdom is related to Sagittarius, and the a fifth kingdom to Venus. Venus as the esoteric ruler there, giving the connection, the angelic connection to Gemini. So we're dealing with the solar angels represented by Venus and the animals, the ready and prepared animals of the ancient days, represented by Sagittarius. And interestingly enough, out of this, a scorpionic kingdom, also a Leonian kingdom, the human kingdom, comes to birth. The fourth creative hierarchy of human monads is not coming to birth. That already pre-existed. But their expression in the three lower worlds as human beings in a human kingdom, that is what is coming to birth. Between these two influences, the influences play from Sagittarius to Gemini, which produced the great crisis of individualization when the two kingdoms approached each other. Which two kingdoms? The third and the fifth kingdoms approached. This whole question of individualization, the great planetary matter, we, of course, were tiny players in the process and being directed by planetary and interplanetary forces. The Earth is involved because it took place on the face of the Earth, and esoterically, the Earth is the ruler of Sagittarius, and hierarchically, the ruler of Gemini, telling us something about the importance of Gemini for elevating the Earth into a sacred status akin to Venus, with Venus as the ruler, esoterically, of Gemini. Venus is not a ruler of Sagittarius, having more to do with the animal kingdom, at least in this particular context. Venus, Mercury, and the Earth then set up a magnetic field which made, which made the intervention of the Great White Lodge on Sirius and the dual stimulation of Gemini effective in producing significant results, of which the fourth kingdom is the expression. This is very interesting. The Great White Lodge and Sirius and the stimulation of Gemini, the dual stimulation of Gemini representing poles, uniting consciousness and matter, consciousness and form, really produced the human kingdom. Should we say that Great White Lodge on Sirius and the stimulation of Gemini produced humanity, the fourth kingdom of nature. There is a close connection between Sirius and Gemini, and if you look in that section of the sky where Sirius can be found, you will find Gemini as well. The question of which is the greater influence can be looked at from a couple of different perspectives. Oftentimes, Sirius is spoken of as the greater influence, but one of the stars of Gemini, the greater star, Pollux, is a supergiant star with a much greater potency and radiation than Sirius, apparently. So many factors came together. There was an alignment here of Mercury, Venus, Mercury, and the Earth, all of them, three of them, as rulers of Gemini. Okay, these three. These three as rulers of Gemini, and the Earth also a ruler of Sagittarius, and Mercury important in relation to Sagittarius, as DK sometimes tells us, the tendency to travel on the winged heels. He refers to the winged heels of Mercury in relation to the Sagittarian description and following the arrow of aspiration until it becomes intuition. The Mercurian evocation is intuition. So Mercury is a planet not unrelated to Sagittarius, but not one of its rulers. So there was a magnetic field set up between the planets which invited the influence or intervention, interestingly, just the way there was an intervention of the solar angels, so there was an intervention from Sirius, and I'll put that down. The solar angels intervened, but first there was an intervention from Sirius into our solar system, and it focused on our planet, which, interestingly enough, DK tells us is closely related to Sirius, even though the magnitudes and the evolutionary development of these two stellar bodies, Earth and Sirius, are very, very different. Sirius being far, far more evolved than the Earth, and also more evolved than the Sun, than the solar logos. And the dual stimulation of Gemini, effective in producing significant results, of which, let's see here, of which the fourth kingdom of nature is the expression. It was also relating to the opening of the this development, also related to the heart development of our planetary logos. The time had come for the development of the planetary heart, and Gemini, with its strong second ray, is involved. Sirius, probably with its ultimate monadic ray being the second, was involved, as was our solar logos with its second ray, soul and personality, and perhaps ultimate monadic ray being the second, perhaps. The fact that Gemini is the third sign and embodies what is called a third potency enabled it to reach with its force the third kingdom, producing that reaction which resulted in the individualizing or the humanizing of its higher forms of life, the higher forms of life in the third kingdom at that time. So Gemini reached, by numerical resonance, the third kingdom of nature. That's really interesting, because there is a lower part of Gemini which is more akin to matter form. And probably that particularly came into resonance with the third kingdom. There was no fourth kingdom yet, which is interesting. It's not as if all kingdoms necessarily appear at the same time. There is a hint here. The fact that Gemini is the third sign embodies what is called, and embodies what is called the third potency. So by inference, would the fourth sign embody a fourth potency, etc.? And the first sign a first potency? And in other words, can ray potencies or numerical potencies be associated with the signs because of their order? Does the fifth sign embody a fifth potency and a connection with the fifth ray? Because I do think there is a connection of Gemini with the third ray. Whatever this third potency is, it's kind of a veiled term, but one can think of it in relation to the third ray, and certainly the kind of fluidity and mobility produced by Gemini is reminiscent of the third ray. Think of the etheric body, in a way, the third of the vehicles, mind, emotion, ether, with all of its ramifying and networking connections, very net-like, like the third ray is. So enabled it to reach with its force the third kingdom and produce that reaction which resulted in the individualizing of its higher forms of life. And, you know, of course, Cancer is involved here, as we have learned elsewhere, with humanity, perhaps because Cancer carries a fourth potency. And we are dealing with founding of the fourth kingdom. So there's much to be said for the uses of numerology in tracing the connections between the factors or the players in these processes. Anyway, we can see that Gemini, a sign of intelligence, a second-ray sign, preeminently it seems, was very much involved in bringing the angels into incarnation, even a strand of angelic presence, intelligence, love, and power into incarnation in the third kingdom. And thus, through that fusion, weak though it may have been at first, the fourth kingdom of nature was created. You will note that Venus is also the hierarchical ruler of Capricorn, not just the esoteric ruler of Gemini, thus showing the power of the mind and its place and purpose in connection with both the major human crises, individualization and initiation. So we can call individualization the founding of the potentially self-conscious mind. And initiation, we can call the illumination of the mind by the light, love, and power of the higher realms. So Venus was involved in both, and the solar angels are of the fifth creative hierarchy. Fifth creative hierarchy. Oh, that's first. Not first. Fifth. And this fifth creative hierarchy, which was involved in the individualization process. So we have planets involved. We have Sirius, the Sun, and the constellation Gemini involved. And we have the creative hierarchies involved. Let's just say that the creative hierarchy of solar angels sacrificially descending into a position where it could contact animal man or that which had been produced by the lunar lords produced the opportunity for expression of the fourth creative hierarchy through the fourth kingdom of nature. And, you know, you'll see here something I refer to so often, of course, but here is this map, and we see that the fifth creative hierarchy, in a way descended to become the seed of the human personality. The solar angels are also found on the Buddhic plane, according to this compilation, or tabulation it is, but they descended quite close, in at least an aspect of their nature, to the animal nature produced by the lunar elementals and ruled by Mars and Sagittarius. So we have the coming together of the indigo of Venus and the red of Mars, producing humanity, with this number four being so strong, and the yellow of intelligent humanity destined to emerge eventually. Great secrets, but one day, like a moving picture or a video, it will all be played out before our inner eye in the reading of the planetary records. And we will see with accurate historical sight what actually happened then. Some of us participated in it. Others of us may have been waiting, you know, in pralayic states, having been abstracted from the moon chain into a waiting position for sufficient development to occur on the fourth globe of the fourth chain for us to make an entry again. But so many of Earth humanity, they're experience is of becoming humanity here on the earth in the manner here hinted at and involving quite a number of sources, right? Let's just say in this whole individualization process, quite a number of stellar, planetary, and hierarchical sources are involved. Venus and Capricorn, we've been discussing the rulers of the fifth grade of hierarchy of intervening solar angels. Okay. There's interventions going on here. The second ray tends to have an interventionary orientation, and so does the sixth ray, so related to the second. An intervention of solar angels occurred. Without that intervention, as DK has suggested or hinted, we would be millions of years behind our present state of development at this time. Two great human crises, both involving Venus then, but in different intensities. The very seed of becoming Venusian is planted at individualization through intervention on our planet. Other methods of individualization occurred on the moon chain, maybe not involving Venus in any interventionary way. And a fruition of the Venusian intervention occurring in Capricorn at initiation, and finally, probably an even greater fruition occurring in Pisces with the exaltation of Venus at the end of the entire human experiment with the mastership of man, making man the master. Pisces also associated with the monadic plane, where Venus is no longer required. What happens there is the Jiva reaches again the Father's home and is reunited, in a sense, with itself, or the part of its consciousness that remained. And we transcend even the fifth kingdom. Venus doesn't reach there. The Chohans are sixth-degree initiates. They are no longer men as are the masters, nor are they actually members of the fifth kingdom in the soul sense. They've become planetary lives, and they are more related to the first aspect now. They've entered the sixth kingdom. Once you are a monad restored to itself, having retracted your descent into the lower worlds, you are a member of the sixth kingdom, beyond Venus. The Pisces is involved in that kind of transition, a number of transitions. Pisces is involved with the transition from the mutable to the fixed cross. It's involved in the transition from focus in the lower 18 subplanes into a state of liberation. In other words, it's involved in the full entry into the fifth kingdom of nature at the time of the fourth initiation. And it's also, I would say, involved in this transition from membership in the fifth kingdom of nature into the sixth. Pisces does seem to be involved in these really important changes of state. I'll just put that down, even though we are talking about Gemini here. Pisces involved in great transitions or changes of state. It represents the end, prelude to a new beginning on a higher level. That it's one of the last signs active in the mutable cross prior to initiation, first initiation, and mounting of the fixed cross, and then is it involved in the mounting of the cardinal cross, perhaps, because one's last incarnation is sometimes taken in Pisces, relating the initiate to Shambhala, but that relationship to Shambhala is not yet as a monad. There has to be an elevation of the full member of the fifth kingdom of nature into the kingdom of planetary lives, the sixth. Pisces has that sixth ray to help with such a transition onto the sixth or monadic level. So Capricorn. It relates humanity in a unique way to Gemini, or Venus does, in the coming world religion. This fact will be noted in the month of June, which is usually when the Gemini full moon occurs, which is essentially the month in which the influences of Gemini are peculiarly strong. He says essentially because it's not always, sometimes in late May. It does occur in the tropical zodiac. Due advantage will be taken in order to bring man nearer to what? Nearer to the spiritual realities. So the solar angels and the love of God, the solar angelic influence giving the Buddhic love of God are very strong in June Gemini. But the solar angelic hierarchy is essentially a Capricornian hierarchy. So we can see there the connection through Venus that unites the solar angels of Capricorn with the love energy, the festival of the Christ occurring at the time of the Gemini full moon. So many of these interactions on a subtler level are revealed to us through the relations or the rulerships given to us in esoteric astrology. The lines of connection are far more interesting and intricate and spiritually significant than in ordinary astrology. You begin to realize, as good as it is, how impoverished the ordinary astrology actually is compared to the deeper insights that we can gain from esoteric astrology. So Venus, the hierarchical ruler of Capricorn, showing the power of the mind to enter the light sublime at the third degree, and its place and purpose in connection with the major human crises, individualization and true initiation. See, true initiation is the third degree, right? Where Venus prevails, and the fifth ray is the third degree, where Venus prevails, and also the fifth ray. So the very beginning, so we call it entry into the fourth kingdom of nature, and that's individualization, and entry into the fifth kingdom of nature. Fifth kingdom of nature as a full, mature participant in that kingdom. We, in a way, enter the fifth kingdom of nature, even at the first degree, somewhat. Entry into the hall of wisdom, but you're not really considered a mature, full participant in that kingdom until true initiation comes. And Venus is... Well, it's powerful at all those initiations, first, second, and third, but most powerful in a way at the third degree. Even though Mars and the Moon are given as the rulers there, we are really entering the Venusian kingdom in full consciousness, and that is polarization within the higher mind, the higher three subplanes of the mental plane. So, it relates humanity, I guess that's Venus, in a unique way to Gemini. The Capricorn has to have been important at the birth of the human kingdom because the solar angels are Capricornian, or that's the sign associated with their hierarchy, and Gemini giving the higher and the lower self the egoic nature formed on the higher mental plane and also the personality nature, that duality which is humanity at first, and which the planet Venus, over time, will unite in the magnetic bond of love and light. So in the coming world religion, this fact of Venus being uniquely related to Gemini, and Venus being uniquely related to humanity as the object of its development, we are to become Venusian, just as our Earth is to become Venusian. The scale is different, of course. It relates humanity in a unique way to Gemini in the coming world religion, based on cycles and astrological energies and ray energies. This fact will be noted in the month of June, which is essentially the month in which the influences of Gemini are peculiarly strong. Due advantage will be taken in order to bring man nearer to the spiritual realities. And, you know, what do we mean? Basically, his soul nature. And even higher. But at least the soul nature. This, we're almost into the influence of Gemini. It's still, as this program is being made, we're still in Taurus, also ruled by Venus, and also strong in the light. But the love energy is growing stronger and stronger all the time. And I think we have a unique opportunity to relate to the solar angel, that great initiate and former human being of a previous cycle, supervisory god, deity, a unique opportunity to relate to the solar angel in June, or in, under the influence of Gemini. Just as Venus was potent in producing the relation of such pairs of opposites as the fifth kingdom of souls and the third kingdom, considered to be here the synthesis of the subhuman kingdoms. It has the mineral, it has the vegetable, it has the animal. It's all included. There, you know, is in every animal body that which relates it to the vegetable kingdom and also to the mineral kingdom. And we, with the still human beings with the animal body, have in us the mineral and the vegetable and the animal. So just as Venus was potent in producing the relation of such pairs of opposites as the fifth kingdom of souls and the third kingdom, the synthesis of subhuman kingdoms, important to see, leading to a great approach between soul and form, that is, between the solar lords, solar angels, and the lords of form, the lunar lords. So in the New World religion, this fact will be recognized. You see, we can say, like, what an opportunity for soul in fusion. Infusion. Appeal, the cry, the call, the invocation will be made to the forces which can utilize this planetary potency in order to work out the divine plan on Earth. So humanity cannot yet, human beings cannot yet utilize the potencies of Venus as can higher orders of life, namely the hierarchy and the solar angels. Hierarchy and the solar angels. Appeal will be made to these higher sources that can bring in this planetary potency of Venus at this time. This is really, the New World religion will be quite amazing in terms of its utilization of the exact knowledge of energies and their cycles of availability, their potencies at various times. We will be cooperating with the great interior forces and energies instead of so often ignorantly working in a way that would neutralize them or render them ineffective. It is because Venus thus relates certain pairs of opposites, usually, you know, soul and form, and mind and emotions, higher mind and lower mind, Earth and Venus itself, that she has been erroneously connected in the minds of men with sex and the sex life, and with the relation of the physical opposites, male and female. This relation is more Martian. There is one place where DK does discuss, I think, Venus in relation to sex, and it is entering the first decanate, the Venus decanate of Aquarius by average man, and the sexual response will be stimulated also simply because Uranus, the general ruler of Aquarius, rules the sacral center. But in general, it is other pairs of opposites that Venus magnetically draws together. Most importantly, the fifth kingdom of nature and the third, and then the fifth kingdom of nature and the fourth kingdom of nature, making it possible for transition of members of the fourth kingdom of nature into the fifth. The kind of reversal that occurs here, we have the fifth kingdom of nature higher than the fourth, but we have, it appears, the fourth kingdom, fourth creative hierarchy of the initiates, human monads, higher than the fifth creative hierarchy. I think that what occurs here in relation to the human personality does not contain the wholeness of the fifth creative hierarchy. I believe that the fifth creative hierarchy has its truer home on higher planes, at least here on the Buddhic plane and perhaps above, but sacrificially it has inserted an aspect of itself into a lower level of higher mind, onto the mental plane. I think that right here, when you look at the fifth creative hierarchy, you can see the split between the upward-pointing five-pointed star and the lower-pointing five-pointed star, the lower four subplanes of the mental plane having to do with the inverted pentagram and the higher three with the erect pentagram. And right there is a conflict between what I would call Venus and Mars, with Mars as the ruler of the lower four and Venus as the ruler of the higher three. So we have here a kind of contrast between the angels and the crocodiles, and it's called Makara, the mystery. Well, we've discussed this. DK says we're not going to solve this. We might go on attempting to solve it and learn much, but it's extremely veiled interplay. I think some of the theorists have attempted to solve this, and they themselves do not know whether they have solved it. It will be proven in time whether or not they have solved this story of the solar angels. I also want to say that Venus is referred to here as she. She is Venus. The Lord of Venus is in a feminine incarnation. The Lord of Earth is in a masculine incarnation. In a way, Earth is much more related to Mars in some of its present processes, but has to become increasingly related to Venus. The higher aspect of the divine feminine is involved here, and that it is which truly civilizes and educates the elemental life. So in any choice between Venus and Mars in the present moment of humanity's history, we have to choose Venus as the way that leads to culture, spiritual culture and spiritual civilization, and we have to beware of any system of thought or religion that puts women down and exalts the Martian vibration. It's really putting Venus down, and it is definitely leading in an anti-evolutionary direction, a reactionary direction. So, continuing now, Venus is often misrepresented. As I said, DK can look at it occasionally in relation to Aquarius as the ruler of the first of the reverse decanates. But normally, it brings together pairs of opposites which are of a higher nature. He says, it is interesting, it is interesting to discover that the hierarchical ruler of Gemini is the Earth itself, which is a non-sacred planet. And this takes us to Yes, this takes us to this particular chart in which we find the Gemini creative hierarchy as the fourth ruled by the Earth, the desire for duality. And certainly those of us who are incarnating on this planet are motivated by this particular type of desire and also by the need to resolve it. So this is one of the liberated hierarchies, and interestingly, Gemini is paired with the sixth ray. So Earth then is the hierarchical ruler, and here it's not showing the rulers so strongly, but in the next diagram for the manifested creative hierarchies, it does show the rulers. None of them is Earth, and so for some reason it is not continued into the discussion of the liberated hierarchies. It is interesting to discover then Earth, a non-sacred planet, as the hierarchical ruler. The Earth is also an esoteric ruler of Sagittarius, the polar opposite of Gemini, and probably has something to do with the sacredization of the animal life on our planet through the Sagittarian energy and the uplifting of the animal consciousness into the human kingdom. At least that's one possible sacredizing of the animal consciousness on our planet. So, with Sagittarius having so much Mars in it in terms of its hierarchical ruler, its connection with the animal kingdom and with the animal vehicle of man, basically the body consciousness, is very, very strong. These are the only two constellations ruled by the Earth. And notice how he changes from signs to constellations. These are the only two ruled by the Earth. And this fact is of major significance, creating an unusual situation in the solar system and even a unique relation. There is a great redemptive process going on our planet, and it seems to have absorbed so much of the unfinished business of the previous major solar system. These two constellations, Gemini and Sagittarius, are part of this redemption of the inherited substance of the previous solar system, which process, the redemptive process, seems very much focused on our Earth and perhaps also to a degree in Mars and Saturn, three planets with a close connection to the third ray in this special third ray entity that somehow embraces all three of these planetary logoi. The cosmic line of force from Gemini to Sagittarius and the reverse is subjectively and esoterically related to our Earth. So we're really talking about important interplay between two opposite constellations with Pisces as the mediator, as we've been told. And Pisces, in this case, is the sign of redemption. So there is a lot to straighten out on our planet, and the influence of the second ray soul of our planet can be in alliance with Pisces, as the Christ is strongly with that particular cosmic decanate. And perhaps the right relation between these two constellations with respect to our Earth is mediated by Pisces, which uplifts and redeems those earlier third-ray tendencies which have to be lifted into the second ray, thus guaranteeing its soul development. Now, the soul development, the soul development is related, in this case, to the third ray. To the third ray, because that is the personality ray of the Earth, of the planetary logos of the Earth. And it is there in the realm of matter-form that the greatest difficulty is to be found, because matter-form is not properly aligned. Matter-form is not properly aligned with the second-ray theme of our planet and even of our solar system. So these two planets, and you know, especially Gemini with its second ray, in alliance with Pisces with its second ray, and with Sagittarius carrying the ray of the human kingdom forth, the ray of Manus, one of the rays of Manus, the fifth, which allows the animal impregnation by the solar angels, and the sixth ray of devotion, or right orientation towards the higher types of energies. These three together can uplift man and uplift the planet. So thus guaranteeing the soul development of our Earth, and we are very much involved in that process right now. The unfoldment of form as an expression of that soul, and leading our sorrowful humanity upon, I guess that's the word there, there's only a pawn, but not a you, upon this woeful planet, inevitably to the very gate of initiation in Capricorn. So it's as if we have Gemini, Sagittarius, Pisces, let's just say Mercury, Venus, Earth, and also Mars, all involved in the upliftment of the presently misaligned humanity, and also of the struggling Earth. These are very potent forces which I think guarantee a good result for our planet. In this statement, and in the fact of pain and sorrow, which are distinguishing qualities of our planetary life, lies hid a secret mystery. Well, the fourth ray is coming in. It's the ray of pain and sorrow, and the fourth purpose of Sanat Kumara relates to the necessity for pain and suffering. And we see this in the rays and the initiations where the seven purposes of Sanat Kumara are discussed. There is a secret mystery here, and the fourth ray through pain speeds humanity and probably our planet on its or their on their way, because the lords of karma are at work here, and the fourth ray through pain reveals when we are out of alignment with our dharma and when karma needs to be adjusted. But you know, we cannot penetrate a mystery, let alone a secret mystery. There are mysteries, I suppose, which are capable of revelation given sufficient study and meditation, and there are secret mysteries which are more impenetrable. So pain and sorrow are the distinguishing features of our planetary life. And let's look here, if we can find it, in rays and the initiations. Let's just say we have here the unknown, unseen purpose of Sanat Kumara, and from that first ray position, we will be able to find our way into the fourth ray. Here it is, the mysterious purpose which has necessitated the calling into activity of the principle of pain. Suffering and pain are essential requirements in order to carry this purpose to completion. After all, Sanat Kumara is the planetary logos in expression. The capacity to suffer, which is distinctive of humanity, is the outstanding conscious reaction to environment of the fourth kingdom in nature, the human. It is related to the power to think. So there's Mercury, there's Venus as well, ruling the intellect. These rulers of Gemini, and there's Gemini, of course. And consciously to relate cause and effect via the fifth ray, via Venus, and also the discriminative power of Gemini, which looks at the opposites and their interrelationship. It is a process on the way to something undreamt of today, and when I say this, my brother, I mean exactly that, undreamt. This same ability to respond through pain is not to be found in the sense in which the human being comprehends it in any of the subhuman kingdoms nor in the superhuman kingdoms any more than it was found in the previous solar system or will be found in the next. So the second ray and the fourth ray are rays which give a lot of possibility for the pain reaction because they're based on division in a way and the need to unify that which is divided. It is related to an aspect of the creative intelligence and intelligence, an aspect and characteristic peculiar to humanity. So we really need to study this. These, on page 242 and 243, the purposes of Sanat Kumara, and here we have the fourth purpose, which relates very much, I think, to what we've been studying under Gemini. Okay. A secret mystery. Through this relationship and through the medium of the potencies pouring into our planet, a situation is set up which I might express in the words of the old commentary. The pain and sorrow, relationship of pain and sorrow to our planetary life, the involvement of the fourth ray, the understanding of cause and effect, the principle of division, I do believe, and the rending process, which is always painful to the deeper consciousness which longs to live in the archetypal unity. We live on a woeful planet, as it is described, a woeful planet. Okay. Cosmic line of force from Gemini to Sagittarius and the reverse. Now, that you know, the Antikorana goes both ways. There's kind of an Antikorana here. There is an Antikorana implied, and the Antikorana has a transmission going in both directions. Going in both directions. And the reverse is subjectively and esoterically related to the Earth. So the upliftment of the animal kingdom and the production of the fourth kingdom of nature through all of these particular influences operates here through Gemini, Sagittarius, Pisces, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and also Mars. And, you know, we might include here, we might possibly include the beneficent influence of Jupiter, a ruler of Sagittarius, bringing all to a desirable conclusion, desirable and fulfilling. Okay, fulfilling conclusion. Now, I think what I'm going to do is get into this in the next tape, or program, really, and we can close with the sounding of the great invocation. So this will be 102. And we will have two aspects to this program, only two. And I'll get on to 103. Okay, that seems best. And so let us find the great invocation. And we can do that. Here it is. All I have to do is get my cursor so I can see it. There we go. Okay. Here we go. The Great Invocation, and it'll be a good way for us to close this work on Gemini and continue with it in Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 103. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, everybody, we will go on shortly, and we'll take it from right here, the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 102B, page something, page 356. Okay, and beginning Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 103A, page 356. And we will go on. This is a, I guess, you know, I have my tangents, or maybe I can call them elaborations on some of these thoughts, meant to seed the thoughts and our contact with these energies. So we will do that shortly, as soon as I can be back. And onward we go.